This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. This is episode 35 that we're going to record tonight. Are you ready? We're recording remotely, so if it's spotty, then sorry, but hopefully this works out.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Good to me. You look good.
You look good, too.
That's not true, but thanks.
That's not true about me either. My hair looks like a wild woman that just woke up, but I didn't just wake up. It just looks like this all the time. All right. So this is the case of April Millsap. Have you ever heard it?
I don't think so.
All right. This case takes place in 2014. April was a 14-year-old girl that lived in Armada, Michigan. April had just finished middle school and would be starting high school in the fall. She lived with her mom, Jennifer, and stepdad, David. Her mom and David had been married since April was a little girl, like very young. So he was pretty much like her dad.
Okay.
Her stepfather was. Okay, so this place, Armada, Michigan, it is like a very, very small town located 35 miles from Detroit. And when I say small town, it's actually not even a town. It's a village. I didn't know that we had villages still, but apparently I thought that was like somewhere else. You know, they had a different country, but I guess we still have villages.
Like Ireland? A village
yeah.
in Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah. In the 2020 census, population was around 2,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Very small. So crimes did not happen much here. Especially murder. I think in 2014, there was one gas station. And there actually had not been a murder in this town or village in 40 years. That's how much crimes did not happen. Yeah. But that all changed on the night of July 24th, 2014. April took her dog Penny for a walk around 6 p.m. along the Macomb Orchard Trail, which was actually just near her house. And she did this most every day around 5. But this day, she left a little later. It's the summer. It's 6 o'clock. It's not like dark, even near dark, really. Yeah. She would walk along a bike trail there. And she also was like real into counting her steps and used a fitness tracker app, which we'll play into this later, which, at 14 years old. That's crazy that she was just like so into her fitness and her steps. Because, you know, at 45, I like to count my steps. But 14, I could have cared less about any of that. For sure. April did not come home after a couple hours. So her mom, Jennifer, got worried. And actually, before she did call the police, but before that, April had a boyfriend. And her mother actually called the boyfriend because he'll come into the story. But she called him and they went looking for April before she called the police. They went to the trail and they didn't see April anywhere. So then they went back home and called the police. Okay.
They didn't see Penny either.
Yeah, they didn't see Penny, which I think I'm going to understand why they didn't see Penny. And I'm going to get to that right now and I'll tell you. Because I actually didn't think about that until you just asked that. But obviously they didn't see Penny when they went. So then they called the police, reported her missing. Around the time that she called the police, say 8 p.m., something like that, after they couldn't find her, these two joggers, a couple actually on the trail, they had seen a dog. This black border collie, the couple said they saw the dog. She was acting strange. And they noticed that, I think there was a leash on the dog and nobody, you know, and just like pacing back and forth. And so they had passed the dog one time and then they came back and passed the dog another time. And they just really were like, you know, this is strange. Why is this dog not with their person? And the dog actually took the couple to a ravine off the trail where they found a body, which ended up being April's body. Penny was just like laying by her in the ravine.
Aww.
I know. And I think was trying to get somebody's attention and finally did. And so I think that when her mother and boyfriend came to look for April, I think because the crime occurred off the trail, and I think Penny was with her body at this time.
Yeah.
And probably that's why they couldn't find Penny. Even so, when the police got there, they didn't know who this girl was. I even read where they took the dog to a shelter. Now, I assume the dog was like acting crazy or something. So the mom, Jennifer, didn't live far from the park or, you know, trail park, but she didn't live far away.
Did they not have a missing person? Or did they know it at the time?
I think it was all happening. Okay, so this police department had 3 full-time employees and 10 part-time employees. It was like very, very small. I'm sure one's getting a phone call here. The other one's out.
Happened really fast, and it wasn't like they put on an APB or whatever.
They didn't have time to do that. But April's mom actually saw the commotion, like the police going by and things like that. And she went to the park and she identified the body of her daughter. Yeah. So this couple, though, I didn't say this because I was, you know, going back talking about the dog, but she was already deceased, April, and her clothes were partially off. April, she had been beaten, and it looked like it was a sexual assault. And I really don't, this case was, it's hard for me to talk about because it is, but I just felt like I needed to do it because it just kept appearing everywhere. Everything I was watching, it kept popping up, and I was like, okay, this is strange. But the fact that she's 14 years old and it was a brutal beating, I don't want to go into much detail about that, but there is one thing that I do have to bring up. When they found her body, you know, her clothes had been torn off, a shoe print on her body where she had been stomped on. But the shoe print is pretty important, and that's why I had to bring it up. Yeah. And when they did...
That's how they...
Yeah, yeah. And when they did the autopsy, just jumping ahead, but she died from blunt force trauma to the head. And she also died from her suffocation to her throat, from her throat being stepped on. So that she, yeah, I know I hate it. I actually really hate it. But that's the only time we're going to talk about it.
Like such a, if she, what time did they say she went to the dog at like 6?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Did somebody find her?
They found her, I think it was closer to 8.
That's 2 hours. That's, yeah. I don't know how long it takes to rape and beat and murder somebody. I don't know. I'm assuming it takes a minute to get them somewhere. And I don't know.
I think I read somewhere that actually all... Well, they think it all took about 10 minutes. Yeah, not very long. And I think she was there, and I think the dog probably didn't leave her for a while. And then when the dog finally realized that she wasn't moving, dogs are smart. Yeah. People underestimate
them. Border collies are super smart.
Yeah, and I think that's when the dog was like, I've got to go get help. And that's exactly what the dog did. They wouldn't have found her probably for longer if it wouldn't have been for the dog. Okay, so... I told you about the autopsy. Her mom noticed her cell phone was not with her, and she had a black backpack, and that was also not there. So investigators immediately start looking for these things, and they start looking for the killer. April, I said this earlier, but she had a boyfriend, and of course they questioned him. He had been with a friend getting food. Like, he definitely had an alibi, but this part I had not mentioned to you yet. So when the mom calls him, this is when he notices that there was he had gotten a text from April, and he didn't read it at the time. He missed this text, which I'm sure, you know, really affected him. And the text said, so April had actually sent him a text right before they think that this crime occurred. And she said, OMG, I think I almost got kidnapped. That's what she said to the boyfriend in the text. Yes.
What?
And he didn't see it at first. I think he read it once her mother called, and she was like, have you talked to April? And he was like, no, but I have a text from her. And then he read the text. Of course, that's why they go, you know, back to the park, and then they don't find her, so they report her missing.
Oh, gosh.
But of course, they're, you know, questioning the boyfriend. He was very cooperative. He took a polygraph test. He passed it, you know, with flying colors. Of course, that's the first person that they look at.
Yeah.
So they think that text was sent right before she was attacked. So April, you know how she had the fitness app tracker? It was able to tell investigators her last movements before she died. It showed her walking normal. Then all of a sudden, it shows her running, and it's almost like zigzag. Like she was trying to get away from someone. And then I guess it stops, you know, 10 minutes later. Her phone leaves the trail, okay? Her phone is on this fitness tracker app, you can tell. And it's basically, so the killer took the phone with him and is basically driving home, and it's showing the route of him going home. Like, what a freaking idiot. I don't know if Life 360 was a thing in 2014. So I think this fitness app was, yeah. And you make a track people. I definitely think you could probably track them, but you had
like a phone tracker or whatever, find my friend or.
But a lot of people didn't use that back then, I don't think. And we definitely didn't, you know, like our family circle. So I think that's why this fitness tracker app was so important, because it did show where everything, you know, where everybody was. And obviously the killer didn't count on her having this app on her phone. You know, he's so stupid. He basically leaves the trail falling home. But before that, then the phone's thrown out, okay? And they actually used dogs, like scent dogs that had her scent on it, and that's how they found her phone. It was thrown out in a rural area. The dog finds the phone. And they actually found her backpack that way too, but it was somewhere different. It was thrown out in a different place.
It's clearly not something that was planned, obviously.
I do not think it was planned, and I'll get to that.
It sounds like it was very well thought out.
It definitely wasn't. So in the meantime, a witness comes forward and has seen it. They said they saw a guy on a blue and white motorcycle near the trail, okay, that day, around that same time. They did a composite sketch of the guy, and April, listen to this, she'd also been beaten with, they believed to have been, a motorcycle helmet. I know, it's awful.
Jeez.
So it makes sense. So investigators, this is a small town. They drive around looking for this motorcycle. Like, they just drive around, like drive by people's houses. And I think it was
in a village that small, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and so somebody actually spots the motorcycle at a house, a blue and white motorcycle. And they definitely go the route where the killer took the phone. They go around that way. Police believe April was approached by the man. Maybe he hit on her. It didn't go well. She rejected him of some sort. That's when she texts her boyfriend and she says, OMG, I think I almost got kidnapped. Then he ambushed her from behind, or maybe, like, you know, went to get her, and she runs away from him, and he caught her and he drug her off the trail and committed the crime. Now, his motive was definitely
holding his motorcycle helmet, like he nabbed her and held his motorcycle helmet in the other hand.
They think he beat her, like, to either that she was already dead and he tried to rape her, and somebody came, because somebody actually did see him. They said they locked eyes with a guy, and that's how they did the composite sketch. Yeah, and that he had, like, anger looking face. And on the trail, or off the trail, they saw a guy. I think that people started walking by, and he didn't get a chance to rape her, and he ran off. Because there was no DNA evidence on her. She had not been raped. But her clothes had been ripped off, like a bra. Yeah, he got interrupted. So that's how they believe that it happened. And he took off on the motorcycle with her phone. Also, the one gas station in town, worker at the gas station, he has spotted a white male in his mid-30s riding a white and blue motorcycle the day April was murdered, but before she was murdered, earlier that day. Another image on a CCTV camera showed the same man on the same motorcycle near this gas station, just, you know, out and about on this day. That's when the police, they're searching down streets, and guess what? Trooper Raymond Peckman was on his way home from work, and he spots the motorcycle. It belonged to a 32-year-old James Van Callis. Then a handful of people start coming forward saying they know this guy James, and he owned this motorcycle, but they haven't seen it in a while. James, apparently his brother lived in this village, but he lived just outside of town. Yeah, it's a small town. If this guy lives in town or anywhere near it, they're going to catch him. It was definitely not planned out. I think that he actually was hitting on her. I don't think that he planned to kill her.
It's also creepy if he's 32 and she was 3 and 15.
It's absolutely creepy. And I'll get to that. There's more to that. So this guy lived, okay, with his parents, his girlfriend, and they had a child together, all right? And so that child lived with him, and her child from a previous relationship. And it was also said that his dad had a criminal record too. Okay. They said it was a big, very, like, messy house, but it was a big house. And James's mom also lived at the house with her new husband. Yeah. What? It's very strange. Yeah. Like,
his mom and dad lived in the house. Dad was an ex-con and they were not together, but the mom and the new husband lived there with the ex-husband. What?
Yeah.
So confused.
It's very weird. That was a weird, like, little living arrangement, right?
It doesn't sound like that's normal.
No.
I'm surprised that somebody comes out of that situation. Not normal.
Yeah. So they went to his house and they questioned him. And they asked him, you know, the shoes that he was wearing that day. And he came and brought him some, like, K-Swiss shoes. And to their disappointment, that was not the shoe print that was on April, right? So it didn't take long, but after that, either they approached the girlfriend and questioned her, or she approached them. And she came forward and reported to them some suspicious activity from James. She said James did own another pair of shoes that he had gotten rid of. They just mysteriously disappeared. And I think there were some Air Force Ones. And the way that she was able to show them proof was that he had pictures of him on Facebook wearing them.
Well, I mean, who only has one pair of shoes anyway?
Well, he said that's the ones he was wearing that day. So I guess they look at his other shoes. They don't find any shoes that match.
I had a hell of a time figuring out which one of my shoes killed somebody. It's so many of them. Yeah, here all day.
It's not funny, the crime, but that part, you're funny.
No,
see,
that's not funny.
But you're funny.
Saying, like, oh, okay, that's the shoes you're wearing. Okay, thanks for
showing. Okay, thanks for showing us. So the girlfriend's, wait a minute, those are not the shoes. And I can prove he owns the shoes. And apparently this girlfriend, she also said she woke up in the middle of the night and he was, like, the day after the murder, he was cleaning his shoes at 3 o'clock in the morning in the bathroom with hand sanitizer. And she's, what are you doing? And he's, nothing, go back to bed. And he was real controlling. He didn't let her, she couldn't even leave the house without him, like all this weird stuff. And they found on his Google search that he had, he put on Google, how do you talk to or how do you have sex with young girls?
Ugh, some people are so stupid.
I don't know.
And the girlfriend, he had said to her, I know, he said, I screwed up bad and I need you to support me. So all these things, she put it all together and she's like.
He said that to her?
To the girlfriend, yeah.
I screwed up bad. Like, he didn't lose his paycheck at the casino. Killed somebody.
No, it's not funny, but you're funny.
You're asking a lot, buddy.
Yeah. And all right. So they go and they get on the internet and they order some Air Force One size 11s. And guess what? They're a perfect match to the print on April's body. He was charged with her murder. And even though no DNA evidence was ever found, this is all circumstantial. He also, all the eyewitnesses and the fact that he was in the area, he owned the shoes. He got rid of the shoes.
Just too much.
Yes. That was enough for 12 jurors to convict him of the murder of April Millsap. And he was sentenced to life in prison without parole, which is good. He tried to appeal his case, but they denied him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's glad. She's like free.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she was.
She's still living that dysfunctional household, I wonder.
I'm sure she moved out. Her mom, it was really, really sad. Jennifer, she did the impact statement to him after he was convicted. This is what she said. What did April ever do to you for you to be so brutal with her? Did you even know her? What was your plan for her that night? Why did you have to hurt her? Just because she ignored your advances, she deserved to die? What made you so darn special? She also told him she hopes he is sufficiently punished in prison, adding, she said, I know that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive those who wronged you, but what you took from us is unforgivable. That's really sad. A 14-year-old girl, like I said, is just, yeah, just because she wouldn't hook up with him or talk to him, you know, his advances. And no, I don't think it was planned. They said that he was in town visiting his brother, but obviously he was like lurking, you know, he was on the prowl for.
A young girl.
Yeah.
I guess Google didn't give him very good answers on his search.
He didn't do a good job. And he did obviously a horrible thing.
That's terrible. But thank goodness for Fitbit.
I know it was, they said a fitness tracker app, which I guess it was like 2014's version. I don't think she had it on her arm, though. It was, like, on her phone. But still, it was able to track her every move, which our phones do that now, but I don't know if they did that as well in 2014, because that was part of the evidence that helps convict him, because you could just tell everything she went through. Plus, they took the phone with them, and it was, like, basically drove straight to his house.
Like, he's not very smart.
No, he's not very smart. And, yeah, he tried to appeal his case. His mom's, like, claims his innocence. He claims his innocence. And it was denied.
That's a mom. I don't know if I could wrap my head around if my kid was in that. I'd be like, no, he didn't do that.
Well, it's hard to think about. But I don't like doing children cases. I don't know. I just feel like it could happen. It shows that, you know, even in this small little village town where everything's safe, and there's bad people lurking, and you have to watch your children. You have to carry mace with you, or you have to carry a weapon with you or something, you know? It's just
for sure.
Yeah, it's just sad, but even in somewhere where you feel so safe, things like this can happen. There's pedos and sickos out there everywhere. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, and I'm going to tell you another story next week, Leanne, that I've got ready, okay?
Okay.
And I hope you can hear
us. Story soon.
Yes, you've just been busy, and I understand, but I hope you can hear us since we're remote, but like us on Facebook. Subscribe, please, to blondesleuths at gmail.com if you have any stories you want us to look into. Thanks for listening.
Bye. But that's the same about you, right?